We invite Derek and Pauline to come and bring to us our readings, firstly from Hebrews, then from Matthew chapter 1, and then Lisa is going to come and speak to us.
Our first reading is a selection of verses from Hebrews chapter 11, entitled Faith. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. It was by their faith that people of ancient time won God's approval. It is by faith that we understand that the universe was created by God's word, so that what can be seen was made out of what cannot be seen. It was faith that made Noah hear God's warnings about things in the future that he could not see. He obeyed God and built a boat in which he and his family were saved. It was faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out to a country which God had promised to give him. It was faith that made Abraham offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice when God put Abraham to the test. It was faith that made the parents of Moses hide him for 3 months after he was born. They saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's order. It was faith that made the Israelites able to cross the Red Sea as if on dry land. When the Egyptians tried to do it, the water swallowed them up. Should I go on? There isn't enough time for me to speak of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith they fought whole countries and won. They did what was right and received what God had promised. They shut the mouths of lions, put out fierce fires, escaped being killed by the sword. They were weak, but became strong. They were mighty in battle and defeated the armies of foreigners.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ. This was how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet: "A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary as the angel of the Lord had told him to. But he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son. And Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we do thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we pray by your Spirit you will bring that word to life. We pray that we would have open hearts and minds to hear what you want to say to us. Lord, in many ways this may be a familiar story, but we pray that you will inspire us afresh, encourage us, challenge us. And Lord, help us to know what you are saying to us and be ready to obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen. A few days ago, Tim Peake became the first British astronaut to travel to the International Space Station. Did anyone see it? Did you watch the reports? Now, he was interviewed on many occasions before he left, but in one interview he said, "Like many children, I dreamt of going into space, but I never really considered it a possibility." Now, I can't help but think that as exciting as it must have been for him and for the whole crew, surely there must have been a little bit of him inside saying, "This is crazy. should I really be getting into this spaceship? On Friday, Harrison Ford, star of the Star Wars films, was interviewed on the BBC, and he was asked if he really would like to travel in space, just like Tim Peake had done. And he said, no, I'm not brave enough for that. And even John Young, who was commander of the Apollo 16 mission in 1972, he said, anyone who sits on top of the largest hydrogen-oxygen fueled system in the world, knowing they're going to light the bottom and doesn't get a little worried, does not fully understand the situation. And yet, John Young and Tim Peake went. They took the risk. They travelled into space, even though for most of us, it would seem like a crazy and terrifying thing to do. Now, of course, it was a risk. There were lots of things that could have gone wrong. But at the same time, this was a trip that had been planned and prepared for. Tim and the other astronauts had been through a huge amount of training, and there would have been countless experiments and preparations that had taken place in order to get the spacecraft ready. Yes, they were stepping into a dangerous mission that in many ways defied common sense. But this wasn't a foolish, spur-of-the-moment, reckless act. It was a well-planned and thought-through action. You know, sometimes people suggest that faith represents a very foolish kind of risk. People talk about faith being believing in thin air and blindly hoping for the best, or abandoning intelligence and reasoning in order to embrace some romantic ideals. Now, I'm sure we would strongly dispute this kind of thinking. God has created us with brains that can question and reason, and we should use them, not abandon them. And surely common sense is also a God-given guideline, and God can speak to us through our brains and our sense just as much as he can through our emotions. Just as Tim Peake had training and preparation that formed the foundations for his trip, so there are also foundations to our faith, based on historical evidence and practice, which enable us to make an informed decision in our faith rather than succumbing to a foolish fantasy. Faith is different to risk. As we've heard through our readings this morning, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. But the very fact that it is faith that we're talking about means it cannot always be explained. There will be some things that we cannot see, where we have to trust. Some situations where we cannot understand fully, where we have to believe. Because the God in whom we have faith is bigger than our understanding and is more powerful than we can ever imagine. This morning, as we reflect on the encounter that Joseph had with the angel of the Lord and the faith that he showed through his actions, we will see how he believed in God, even at a time when common sense might tell us not to, and how his faith paved the way for God to work powerfully in the world. Matthew tells us in verse 19 that Joseph was a man who always did what was right. In other words, he was a man who was faithful to God and to God's word, upholding the law in obedience to his Lord. I think it's easy to read over this point and miss the emotional ordeal that Joseph had suddenly found himself in. He was engaged to be married to a young girl whom he loved and had just discovered that she was expecting a baby. And he knew full well that he was not the father of the child, Surely he must have been in absolute turmoil, reeling from shock to betrayal to disappointments, maybe to regrets, above all, probably to hurts. Yet in the pain and the confusion of the situation that he was suddenly thrown into, there is still this deep foundation within him that he wanted to do what was right. And he knew the right thing to do was to believe in God and to obey God's word. For Joseph, that obedience would mean he would have to divorce Mary. The circumstances indicated that Mary had committed adultery, and the appropriate response for a righteous man would be to obtain a certificate of divorce. Joseph knew this was the action he would need to take, and he'd been considering how he could do this when events unfolded in ways that he would never have imagined. The important thing is that Joseph chose to believe in God and to obey his word through upholding the law. In many ways, he was putting his faith in God at a time when common sense might have told him not to. Have you ever encountered a difficult or painful time in your life and found people questioning how you can still have faith? People say things like, "How can you still believe in God when this has happened? How can you have faith when you find yourself in this situation?" There are times for all of us when we don't understand why certain things have happened. And those are the times that faith really kicks in. It's a time when some people would suggest that common sense tells you not to believe. And I think that's exactly the place that Joseph was in too. He could have questioned God's faithfulness to the extent where he chose not to believe in God and not to obey his word. This could have been the one time when he didn't respond by doing the right thing. But he didn't. He chose to believe. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the story of the miracle on 34th Street. And we see this point being made as we join the story again this morning. Just to catch you up, Fred Gailey has chosen to defend Kris Kringle and said he wants to help him to prove who he really is. And he's done that at great cost to himself. So, according to Fred Gailey, faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to. I guess Abraham, Noah, Moses, and many of the other people mentioned in those verses in Hebrews would probably understand what he meant. And Joseph, too, chose to have faith, believing in God and obeying his word. But he wasn't just being faithful to God through choosing to divorce Mary in order to obey the law. He was also faithful to God in the way that he decided to divorce her. Verse 19 continues, "But he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately." You see, there were two ways that he could arrange his divorce. Firstly, he could seek a public divorce. Now, in that case, her situation would become widely known, and Mary would be subjected to community disgrace. She might even be stoned. The other option was to divorce her quietly. Now, Joseph faced a dilemma. He knew he had to do the right thing, but he also knew he wanted to protect and show compassion to the woman he loved. Despite his pain, Joseph didn't want to put Mary through the agony of a public trial. And that's why we heard that he made plans to break the engagement privately. As much as he wanted to obey the law, we see Joseph to be a man who followed the heart of the law rather than the letter of the law. He wasn't legalistic in the way that he acted. Instead, he reflected the character of God in the way he chose to obey. I think these things show Joseph to be a man of godly compassion, whose example demonstrates the kingdom values that Jesus himself had come to instill. Didn't Jesus frequently condemn the Pharisees and the teachers of the law for their legalism, which overruled compassion and mercy? Joseph's actions show him to be a man who understood the heart of the law. He was a man who sought to honour God in every action and reaction, and his decisions were guided by the values behind the law, as he strived not just to uphold it, but was driven by compassion and mercy as he longed to obey God wholeheartedly. In that film clip, Mrs. Walker was criticising Fred for trying to uphold those lovely intangibles of love, joy, and kindness. She told him, "These things aren't worth very much. You don't get ahead that way." But Fred challenged her that one day she would discover that these lovely intangibles are actually the only things that really are worthwhile. Those lovely intangibles that Fred was speaking about are the kind of things that I think we see in Joseph, as he chooses to have faith when common sense tells us not to, and chooses to reflect God's character in the way that he reacted. Even though he must have been really hurt, he was gracious in his response to Mary. And his life challenges us that even at those times when life seems unfair, unjust, too painful to bear, we can still seek to act with compassion and mercy. We can still believe in God and live by his values as we follow his will for our lives. And as we step out in faith and choose to believe in God, then we can and we should trust in God to be faithful. As Joseph made the decision to divorce Mary quietly, suddenly he encountered God in a remarkable way. Matthew tells us in verse 20 that an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And then in verse 24, we heard, when Joseph woke up, he married Mary as the angel of the Lord had told him to do. Now, Matthew helpfully tells us in his gospel that all of this happened to fulfill a prophecy that we know we can read in Isaiah chapter 7. What he doesn't say is that the angel of the Lord told that to Joseph. Now, I wonder, maybe Joseph knew his scriptures well enough so that when the angel said to him, "Jesus will save people from their sins," maybe something in him could see how God was at work. But even if he did know his scriptures that well, surely it took an incredible amount of faith to do what the angel had just said. You know, it wouldn't be long before Mary's pregnancy would be obvious. The community would see she was pregnant. People were bound to talk. In marrying her, he was then actually putting his own reputation at stake. Yet despite the intense emotions that he was experiencing, Matthew says that when he woke up, Joseph did what the angel had told him to do. We don't get the sense that there was any delay in Joseph's response. And in fact, if you look through the rest of Matthew's gospel, when Joseph is mentioned, that's a characteristic that we see time and time again. Joseph is always quick to obey the word of the Lord and trust God to be faithful, even at those times in life when common sense might tell him not to. You see, the foundations of our faith are based on God's word and God's character. One of the ways that we can test what we think God is saying to us is to see if it matches up with his word and if it is true to his character. God will not tell us to do something that contradicts his word or that goes against the character of who he really is. As we believe in him and as we follow him, then like Joseph, we have to be ready to obey his word and reflect his character in every action and reaction. Our lives should also model those lovely intangibles that Fred Gailey spoke of. Those lovely intangibles that Jesus demonstrated. Not only so that we are being obedient to God, but also so that others around us will see the love of Christ in our lives. But there will be times, I'm sure, for all of us when, like Joseph, God asks us to step out in faith, to believe in him when common sense tells us not to, and to allow him to act. At those times, to have faith means believing even though we cannot fully see what is happening, trusting even though we cannot fully understand how God is at work, knowing that we have faith in a God who is more powerful than we can ever imagine, and faith in a God who loves us more than we could ever know and only wants the best for our lives. Now, perhaps for some of us that will mean choosing to trust in God when life is hard and we don't understand why things have happened. Perhaps for some of us it means choosing to act in the way that Jesus would, even though we're hurting, even though everything within us wants to act in a different way. Or maybe it will mean responding to God's word to us, responding to a call he's put upon our life. Perhaps for some of us there will be a cost. Maybe God is calling us to serve him in a very remarkable way. Maybe common sense is telling you not to, but we're called to obey and to trust him that he will be faithful to his promises. God's word shows us that God is faithful. It shows us we can trust in him. I'd like to encourage you this morning to be like Joseph, to be like Abraham, Noah, Moses, and all the others we heard of in our reading earlier. To be ready to step out in faith, to trust and believe in God, and respond to his call to you in obedience. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for those remarkable examples that we've heard of this morning of people of faith who trusted in you even when common sense might have told them not to. Lord, we thank you for that reminder that you are Emmanuel, God with us, that you don't abandon us to try and live for you on our own, but you are with us, guiding us, speaking to us, encouraging us, comforting us, and strengthening us. Lord, I pray this morning for those of us where life is hard, where we have unanswered questions, where we can't see where certain things have happened. Help us to choose to believe in you and to hold on to your word. Lord, I pray for each of us in the actions and reactions that we have to every situation that we have, that we might reflect your character, that we might live in the way that you want us to, showing compassion, grace, mercy, kindness, love, even if that is the opposite of what we have experienced from others. And Lord, for those of us who at the moment are facing a dilemma, who feel that you may have said something to us. And yet, in many ways, it seems like quite a big ask. Lord, give us the confidence and the boldness we need to step out in faith, to trust in you to be faithful, and to live to serve your call on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.